Bhagavatam 1:12:35, the birth of Emperor Pariksit. Let's see. First we'll read Rastakam. Namam Ishvaram Sachidanandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashorabi Rudanta Muhurnetra Yugmam Rajantam Karam Bojo Yukmena Shantankanetram Muhusvasakampati Rekankakanta Stita Graivam Damo Bhaktibadam Iti Driksvalila Birananda Swagosham nimajantam akyapayantam. Tadi eshita Idam teva purnata gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kimanyae Idam te mukambojam atyanta nilayar ritam kuntalais Manasyavirastam alam lakshalabai Namo Deva Damodarananta Vishno Prasida Prabodukajalabdimagnam Kripadvistivristyati dinam batanu Grahaneshamamagyam Kuviratmajo Bada Murtiai for Yadfar Dvaya Mochito Bhakti Bajo Kitocha Tata Prema Bhaktim Svakam me Prayacha Namokshe Groho me Stidamodareha Namastuste Damnes Pura Dipti Damne Tvadiyodarayata Vishvasya Damne Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tubhyam Namam Ishvaram Sachiranandarupam Yashorabhiyolukaladavamanam paramristamatyantatodrutyagopya. And Maharaj, would you like to read the first two translation verses?
Thank you, Maharaj. To the Supreme Controller, who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistering earrings swing to and fro, who manifests himself in Gokula, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and who then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, but was ultimately to that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, He cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick. And as Mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes, he shivered in fright and his pale necklace shook. To this Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances.
Thank you, Maharaj. And Shamashundra Prabhu, would you like to read the next two?
Dhanabhas Maharaj, thank you very much. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokula pools of ecstasy. The devotees who were attracted only to the majestic aspect of Narayana in Vaikuntha, Lord Hirin reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. The Supreme Lord Damodar, my business is 100 times. 4. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray for you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind, O Lord. I do not even want to know your future of Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart.
And Jadu Krishna, Prabhu, would you read the next two?
Thank you, Maharaj. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruits due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of avyamsas are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow and almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy on me, uplift me, and protect me with your nectarian vision.
Thank you, Prabhu. And then Kusum Devi, would you like to read the next two? Last two?
Thank you, Maharaj.
All right, thank you.
O Lord Damodara, excuse me. O Lord Damodara, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva, and Nalakuvera, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in this same way. I have no desire for liberation into your effulgence. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound by a rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope, I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes.
Thank you, Mataji. And thank you for that nice Diwali message you sent me and your blessings.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you. And same to you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Then we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 1:12:35, Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Om Agnatimirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadar Har Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Guru Dev, Srila Acharya Dev, Ki Jai. Gauru Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gauru Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ahuto Bhagavan Ragya Yajait Vad Vijayar Nipam Uvasakiti Chin Masan Suridam Priya Kam Yaya. What was that? Okay, Dandavats Maharaj.
Dandavats
Maharaj. Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Jai. Bhakti Nishkam Kama Medistan Shank Nishkam Shanta Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai Shipat Bhakti Madhupuri Maharaj. Jai Chajadu.
Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhisthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born Brahmins. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. Purport, Lord Sri Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhisthira to look into the supervision of the performances of yoga, and the Lord, to abide by the orders of his elderly cousin, caused the performance of yogas by learned twice-born Brahmins. Simply taking birth in the family of a Brahmin does not make one qualified to perform yoga. One must be twice-born by proper training and initiation from the bona fide acharya. The once-born scions of Brahmin families are equal with the once-born sudras, and such Brahma bandhus, or unqualified once-born scions, must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. Lord Sri Krishna was entrusted to look after this arrangement, and perfect as he is, he caused the yogas to be performed by the bona fide twice-born Brahmins for successful execution. So who knows why they are called twice-born? What is the meaning of twice-born Brahmin? We have explained this before. No one knows.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Is it the natural from the parents is the firstborn, and when they took initiation is the second birth from a bona fide guru?
But how is the initiation a second birth?
It's into spirituality, taking up a more serious life than a mundane, than the everyday mundane life.
Yes. Brahman. Second birth means to understand Brahman, that you are Brahman. What does Brahman mean? Brahman, not that you are God, but that you are a spiritual being. First birth is called seminal birth. From the semina of the father, we take birth. We are conceived in the mother's womb, and we take birth, and we come into this material world and consider ourselves material beings. But Vedantic knowledge, or Vedic knowledge, says, no, you are not material being. You are Brahman. You are nature of Brahma, of spirit. Your nature is spiritual, not material. You are born into this material world, and so you think yourself material. But Vedic instruction comes and says, no, you are not material. Materialism is the world of unreality, not your real place of existence. You have another existence, another identity, another substance you are made of. That is Brahman, spirit. So only one who understands that spiritual nature that he actually is, that spiritual ontology is called ontology. It means what you are, what is the real thing. Only that such a person is qualified to offer yajna. Yajna is not just for material benefit, sacrifice. People offer sacrifices. They simply want some material benefit. They pray to the goddess Durga. I will offer this and that to you, so many gold, so many money, whatever. And you give me some wealth in return so I can enjoy my material life with my family and friends, etc., and with some power and wealth or whatever I need. If you give that to me, I will worship you. That's mundane yoga. That is not qualified. That is not the purpose of yoga. maintained that kind of, to do that kind of yoga and maintain that kind of mentality. That is the birth. Even one may be born in a Brahmin family, he does that kind of yoga. He thinks, oh, I'm a Brahmin family. I can do yogas. Anyone come, can't give me some money and I'll perform your yoga for you. And I'll give you whatever you want. You'll get whatever you want from the worship of that particular demigod or whatever. This kind of Brahmin is not respected in his verse. Prabhupada says, such a once-born Brahmin, he is equal with the once-born Sudra. They're Brahma Bandhus. Bandhus means he's bound to this world. Unqualified. But one who is twice born is a Brahmin, is an actual Brahmin. He may be born in a Brahmin family, but unless he understands, unless he is initiated into that knowledge of the transcendental identity, of a spiritual identity, then how can he properly perform the sacrifice? How could the benefit, anyone benefit, get the genuine benefit that is needed, that is wanted on performance of yoga? And so that's the meaning here. I have to try to understand. Twice born. Atato Brahma Jigyasa Vedanta begins with that command. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you must understand your nature as Brahman. Don't think you are simply a mundane being, a material being. Your nature is spiritual. You are completely beyond this mundane platform of existence. I try to understand how that is. Atato Brahma Jigyasa means that. And that atato means now you have to, now that you have come, had the chance to come before someone who can liberate you from your mundane conception. That atato doesn't just mean human being. Once born human being, that's not sufficient. A once born human being cannot do anything on his own. If you're drowning in the ocean, you can't help yourself. You need someone who is already freed from that drowning condition, then they can help you. So this atato means now when you come in contact with someone who can help you, then through that help you can inquire into Brahman. You can get some help, some insight into that plane, information about that plane, and freedom from those chains that are binding you by the discipline, disciple or discipline. That comes from the spiritual masters. Attainment of that plane himself. That's why it says one should not become guru unless he can liberate others from the ocean of material existence. If you are drowning in the ocean, you can't help anyone else who is drowning also. Not possible. Somehow you have to be out to some degree, either getting on the ship or whatever. At least you have to have some kind of safe position by which others can also be brought out of the drowning condition. And that's a necessary aspect of spiritual life. Gurudev. All right, 1:12:36. Tato ragya prayunjat gyataha krishnaya sahabandhu bihi yayo dravatim brahman sarjano yadubir ritaha. O Shonaka, therefore, the Lord, having made farewell to King Yudhisthira, Draupadi, and other relatives, started for the city of Dwarka, accompanied by Arjuna and other members of the Yadu dynasty. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 12th chapter, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Prabhupada ki jai. I'm 113.1 Dhritarashtra quits home. Shruto vacha virarastirta yatrayam maitriyaratmano gatim yatvagad dastinapuram tvaya vapta vivishtitaha. Vivitsitaha. Well versed in everything knowable. Translation. Sri Suta Goswami said, while traveling on pilgrimage, Vidura received knowledge of the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya and then returned to Hastinapur. He became as well versed in the subject as he desired. Purport. Vidura, one of the prominent figures in the history of Mahabharata, was conceived by Vyasadeva in the womb of the maidservant of Ambika, mother of Maharaj Pandu. He is the incarnation of Yamaraj, being cursed by Madhuka Muni. He was to become a Sudra. The story is narrated as follows. Once upon a time, the state police caught some thieves who had concealed themselves in the hermitage of Madhuka Muni. The police constables, as usual, arrested all the thieves and Madhuka Muni along with them. The magistrate specifically punished the Muni to death by being pierced with a lance. When he was just to be pierced, the news reached the king, and he at once stopped the act of consideration of his being a great Muni. The king personally begged the Muni's pardon for the mistake of his men, and the saint at once went to Yamaraj, who prescribes the destiny of the living beings. Yamaraj, being questioned by the Muni, replied that the Muni in his childhood pierced an ant with a sharpened straw, and for that reason he was put into difficulty. The Muni thought it unwise on the part of Yamaraj that he was punished for his childish innocence, and thus the Muni cursed Yamaraj to become a Sudra. And this Sudra incarnation of Yamaraj was known as Vidura, the Sudra brother of Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Pandit. But this Sudra son of the king of the Kuru dynasty was equally treated with, treated by Bhishma Dev, along with his other other nephews. And in due course, Vidura was married with a girl who was also born in the womb of a Sudrani by a Brahmin. Although Vidura did not inherit the property of his father, the brother of Bhishma Dev, still he was given sufficient state property by Dhritarashtra, the elder brother of Vidura. Vidura was very much attached to his older brother, and all along he tried to guide him on the right path. During their fratricidal war of Kurukshetra, Vidura repeatedly implored his older brother to do justice to the sons of Pandu. But Duryodhana did not like such interference by his uncle, and thus he practically insulted Vidura. This resulted in Vidura's leaving home for pilgrimage and taking instructions from Maitreya. Yavataha kritavan prasnan kshata koshara vagrataha Tataika Bhaktir Govinde Devyas Choparamata. After asking various questions and becoming established in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to whom Maitreya Muni. Purport. Vidura retired from putting questions before Maitreya Muni when he was convinced by Maitreya Rishi that the summum bonum of life is to be finally situated in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, who is Govinda, or one who satisfies his devotees in all respects. The conditioned soul, the living being in material existence, seeks happiness by employing his senses in the modes of materialism, but that cannot give him satisfaction. He then searches after the supreme truth by the empiric, philosophic, speculative method and intellectual feats. But if he does not find the ultimate goal, he again comes down to material activities and engages himself in various philanthropic and altruistic works, which all fail to give him satisfaction. So neither fruitive activities nor dry philosophical speculation can give one satisfaction, because by nature a living being is the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, and all the Vedic literature give him direction towards that ultimate end. The Bhagavad Gita 15:15 confirms this statement. Bhagavad Gita means Sarvasya Chaham, Vridishani Vistomatak, Smatir Gyanam Apahanam Cha, Vedaischa Sarvairaham Eva Vedo, Vedantakad Veda Vedeva Chaham. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And by all the Vedas, I am to be known. Even indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of Vedanta, of the Vedas. So, like Vidura, an inquisitive, conditioned soul must approach a bona fide spiritual master like Maitreya, and by intelligent inquiries must try to know everything about karma, fruit of activities, gyan, philosophical research for the supreme truth, and the linking process of spiritual realization. One who is not seriously inclined to put questions before a spiritual master need not accommodate a show bottle spiritual master. Nor should a person who may be a spiritual master for others pose to be so if he's unable to engage his disciples ultimately in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna. Vidura was successful in approaching such a spiritual master like Maitreya, and he got the ultimate goal of life, bhakti, unto Govinda. Thus, there was nothing to be known further about spiritual progress. Tambanum agatam disva dharma putraha sahanujaha itarastro yayutsuscha sutaha ashavataha prita gandhari draupadi brahman subhadra chotara kripi anyascha janmayaha pandur yatayaha satushahastriyaha. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhisthira, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, and many other wives of the Kauravas and other ladies with children all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. Purport: Gandhari is the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. She was the daughter of Maharaj Subal, the king of Gandhar, now Kandahar in Kabul. And her maiden state, and in her maiden state, she worshipped Lord Shiva. Gandhar, is that interesting? Gandhar, king of Gandhar, is actually nowadays called Kandahar. Are they having so much fighting? Lord Shiva is generally worshipped by Hindu maidens to get food, to get a good husband. Gandhari satisfied Lord Shiva by his benediction to obtain 100 sons. And she was betrothed to Dhritarashtra despite his being blind forever. One second here. When Gandhari came to know that her would-be husband was a blind man, to follow her life companion, she decided to become voluntarily blind. So she wrapped her eyes with many silken linens, and she was married to Dhritarashtra under the guidance of her elder brother Shakuni. She was the most beautiful girl of her time, and she was equally qualified by her womanly qualities, which endeared every member of the corps of her court. But despite all her good qualities, she had the natural frailties of a woman, and she was envious of Kunti when the latter gave birth to a male child. Both the queens were pregnant, but Kunti first gave birth to a male child. Thus Gandhari became angry and gave a blow to her own abdomen. As a result, she gave birth to a lump of flesh only. But since she was a devotee of Vyasadeva, by the instruction of Vyasadeva, the lump was divided into 100 parts, and each part gradually developed to become a male child. Thus, her ambition to become the mother of 100 sons was fulfilled, and she began to nourish all the children according to her exalted position. The intrigue of the Battle of Kurukshetra was going on. She was not in favor of fighting with the Pandavas. Rather, she blamed Dhritarashtra, her husband, for such a fratricidal war. She desired that the state be divided into parts for the sons of Pandu and for her own. She was very affected when all her sons died in Battle of Kurukshetra, and she wanted to curse Bhimasena and Yudhisthira. But she was checked by Vyasadeva. Her mourning. Over the death of Duryodhana and Dushasana before Lord Krishna was very pitiful, and Lord Krishna pacified her by transcendental messages. She was equally aggrieved on the death of Karna, and she described to Lord Krishna the lamentation of Karna's wife. She was pacified by Srila Vyasadeva when he showed her then sons, then promoted to the heavenly kingdoms. She died along with her husband in the jungles of the Himalayas, near the mouth of the Ganges. She burned in a forest fire. Maharaj Yudhisthira performed the death ceremony of his uncle and aunt. And Pritha, daughter of Maharaj Surasena and sister of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna's father. She was adopted by Maharaj Kuntibhoj, and hence she is known as Kunti. She is the incarnation of the success potency of the personality of Godhead. The heavenly denizens from the upper planets used to visit the place, the palace of King Kunti Bhoja, and Kunti was engaged for their reception. She also served the great mystic sage Durvasa, and being satisfied by her faithful service, Durvasa Muni gave her a mantra by which it was possible for her to call for any demigod she pleased. As a matter of inquisitiveness, she at once called for the sun god, who desired a couplement with her, but she declined. But the sun god assured her immunity from virgin adulteration, and so she agreed to his proposal. As a result of this couplement, she became pregnant, and Karna was born by her. By the grace of the sun, she again turned into a virgin girl, but being afraid of her parents, she quitted the newly born child Karna. After that, when she actually selected her own husband, she preferred Pandu to be her husband. Maharaj Pandu later wanted to retire from family life and adopt the renounced order of life. Kunti refused to allow her husband to adopt such life. But at last, Maharaj Pandu gave her permission to become a mother of sons by calling some other suitable personalities. Kunti did not accept this proposal at first, but when vivid examples were sent by Pandu, she agreed. Thus, by dint of the mantra awarded by Durvasa Muni, she called for Dharmaraj, and thus Yudhisthira was born. She called for the demigod Vayu, heir, and thus Bhima was born. She called for Indra, the king of heaven, and thus Arjun was born. The other two sons, namely Nakul and Sahadev, were begotten by Pandu himself in the womb of Madri. Later on, Maharaj Pandu died at an early age, for which Kunti was so aggrieved that she fainted. Two co-wives, named Kunti and Madri, decided that Kunti should live for the maintenance of the five minor children, the Pandavas. And Madhusudan accepted this sati rituals by meeting voluntary death along with her husband. This agreement was endorsed by great sages like Satasringa and others present on the occasion. Later on, when the Pandavas were banished from the kingdom by the intrigues of Duryodhan, Kunti followed her sons, and she equally faced all sorts of difficulties during those days. During the forest life, one demon girl, Hidimba, wanted Bhima as her husband. Bhima refused. When the girl approached Kunti and Yudhisthira, they ordered Bhima to accept her proposal and give her a son. As a result of this combination, Ghatotkacha was born, and he fought very valiantly with his father against the Kauravas. In the forest life, they lived with a Brahmin family that was in trouble because of one Bakasura demon, and Kunti ordered Bhima to kill the Bakasura to protect the Brahmin family against troubles created by the demon. She advised Yudhisthira to start for the Panchaldesh. Draupadi was gained in this Panchaladesh by Arjuna, but by order of Kunti, all five of the Pandava brothers became equally the husbands of Panchali or Draupadi. She was married with the five Pandavas. In the presence of Vyasadeva, Kunti Dev never forgot her first child, Karna, and after Karna's death in the Battle of Kurukshetra, she lamented and admitted before her other sons that Karna was her eldest son prior to her marriage with Maharaj Pandu. Her prayers for the Lord after the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna was going back home, are excellently explained. Later, she went to the forest with Gandhariya for severe penance. She used to take meals after each 30 days. She finally sat down in profound meditation and later burned to ashes in a forest fire. Draupadi, the most chaste daughter of Maharaj Drupada, and partly an incarnation of Goddess Sachi, the wife of Indra. Maharaj Drupada performed a great sacrifice under the superintendence of the sage Yajna. By his first offering, Drishtadyumna was born, and by the second offering, Draupadi was born. She is therefore the sister of Drishtadyumna, and she is also named Panchali. The five Pandavas married her as a common wife, and each of them begot a son in her. Maharaj Yudhisthira begot a son named Pratibhit, and Bhimasen got a son named Suchasom. Arjuna begot Shrutakriti, Nakul begot Shantika, and Sahadeva begot Shrutakarma. She is described as the most beautiful lady equal to her mother-in-law, Kunti. During her birth, there was an arrow message that she should be called Krishna. The same message also declared that she was born to kill many Kshatriyas. By dint of her blessing from Shankar, she was awarded five husbands equally qualified. When she preferred to select her own husband, princes and kings were invited from all countries of the world. She was married with the Pandavas during their exile in the forest, but when they went back home, Maharaj Draupada gave them immense wealth as a dowry. She was well received by all the daughters-in-law of Dhritarashtra. When she was lost in the gambling game, she was forcibly dragged into the assembly hall, and an attempt was made by Dushasana to see her naked beauty, even though there were elderly persons like Bhishma and Drona present. She was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and by her praying, the Lord himself became an unlimited garment to save her from insult. A demon of the name Jatasura kidnapped her, but by her second husband, Bhimasen, killed the demon and saved her. She saved the Pandavas from the curse of Maharaj Durvasa by the grace of Lord Krishna. When the Pandavas lived incognito in the place of Virat, Kichaka was attracted by her exquisite beauty. And by arrangement with Bhima, the devil was killed and she was saved. She was very much aggrieved when her five sons were killed by Ashwatthama. At the last stage, she accompanied her husband Yudhisthira and others and fell on the way. The cause of her falling was explained by Yudhisthira, but when Yudhisthira entered the heavenly planet, he saw Draupadi gloriously present there as the goddess of fortune in the heavenly planet. Excuse me. Subhadra is the daughter of Vasudev and sister of Lord Sri Krishna. She was not only a very dear daughter of Vasudev, but also a very dear sister to both Krishna and Baladev. The two brothers and sister are represented in the famous Jagannath Temple of Puri, and the temple is still visited by thousands of pilgrims daily. This temple is in remembrance of the Lord's visit at Kurukshetra during an occasion of solar eclipse and his subsequent meeting with the residents of Vrindavan. The meeting of Radha and Krishna during this occasion is a very pathetic story, and Lord Sri Chaitanya, in the ecstasy of Radharani, always pined for Lord Krishna at Jagannath Puri. While Arjuna was at Dwarka, he wanted to have Subhadra as his queen, and he expressed his desire to Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna knew that his elder brother, Lord Baladev, was arranging her marriage elsewhere, and since he did not dare to go against the arrangement of Baladev, he advised Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra. So when all of them were on a pleasure trip on the Raivat Hill, Arjuna managed to kidnap Subhadra according to the plan of Sri Krishna. Sri Baladev was very angry at Arjuna, and he wanted to kill him. But Lord Krishna implored his brother to excuse Arjuna. Then Subhadra was duly married with Arjuna, and Abhimanyu was born of Subhadra. At the premature death of Abhimanyu, Subhadra was very mortified, but on the birth of Parikshit, she was happy and solaced. Pratyujagmahu paharsena pranam tanva ivagatam abhishan gamya vidhivad parishvanga bivadanai. With great delight they all approached him. As if life had returned to their bodies, they exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. Purport. In the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remain inactive. But when consciousness returns, the limbs and senses become active, and existence itself becomes delightful. Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kaurava family that this long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. Mamuchuhu prema baspogam virahot kantya kataraha rajatam arhayam chakre vitasana parigraham. Due to anxieties and long separation, they all cried out of affection. King Yudhisthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception. Tam buktavantam vishrantam asinam sukum asane prasrayava vanato raja prahatesham chashinvatam. After Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest, he was comfortably seated. Then the king began to speak to him, and all who were present there listened. Purport. King Yudhisthira was expert in reception also, even in the case of his family members. Vidura was well received by all the family members by exchange of embraces and obeisances. After that, bathing and arrangements for a sumptuous dinner were made, and then he was given sufficient rest. After finishing his rest, he was offered a comfortable place to sit, and then the king began to talk about all happenings, both family and otherwise. That is the proper way to receive a beloved friend or even an enemy. According to Indian moral codes, even an enemy received at home should be so well received that he will not feel any fearful situation. An enemy is always afraid of his enemy, but this should not be so when he is received at home by his enemy. This means that a person, when received at home, should be treated as a relative. So what to speak of a family member like Vidura, who was a well-wisher for all members of the family? Thus Yudhisthira Maharaj began to speak in the presence of all the other members. Yudhisthira Vacha, Api Smaratayo Yusmat Paksha Chaya Sameditan Vipadganad Vishangyadir Mochitayat Samatrikaha. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, "My uncle, do you remember how you always protected us along with our mother from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us from poisoning and arson." Purport: due to Pandu's death at an early age, his minor children and widow were the object of special care by all the elderly members of the family, especially Bhishma Dev and Mahatma Vidura. Vidura was more or less partial to the Pandavas due to their political position. Although Dhritarashtra was equally careful for the minor children of Maharaji Pandu, he was one of the intriguing parties who wanted to wash away the descendants of Pandu and replace them by raising his own sons to become the rulers of the kingdom. Mahatma Vidura could follow this intrigue of Dhritarashtra and company, and therefore, even though he was a faithful servitor of his oldest brother, Dhritarashtra, he did not like his political ambition for the sake of his own sons. He was therefore very careful about the protection of the Pandavas and their widow mother. Thus he was, so to speak, partial to the Pandavas, referring them to the sons of Dhritarashtra, although both of them were equally affectionate in his ordinary eyes. He was equally affectionate to both the camps of nephews in the sense that he always chastised Duryodhana for his intriguing policy against the cousins. He always criticized his elder brother for his policy of encouragement to his sons, and at the same time, he was always alert in giving special protection to the Pandavas. All these different activities of Vidura within the palace politics made him well known as partial to the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira has referred to the past history of Vidura before his going away from home for a prolonged pilgrim journey. Maharaj Yudhisthira reminded him that he was equally kind and partial to his grown-up nephews, even after the Battle of Kurukshetra, a great family disaster. Before the Battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra's policy was peaceful annihilation of his nephews, and therefore he ordered Purochana to build a house at Varanavata. And when the building was finished, Dhritarashtra desired that his brother's family live there for some time. When the Pandavas were going there in the presence of all members of the royal family, Vidura tactfully gave instruction to the Pandavas about the future plan of Dhritarashtra. This is specifically described in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 114. He indirectly hinted a weapon not made of steel or any superficially specifically described in the Mahabharata. A weapon not made of steel or any other material element can be more than sharp to kill an enemy, and he who knows this is never killed. That is to say, he hinted that the party of the Pandavas was being sent to Varanavata to be killed, and thus he warned Yudhisthira to be very careful in their new residential palace. He also gave indications of fire and said that fire cannot extinguish the soul, but can annihilate the material body. But one who protects the soul can live. Kunti could not follow such indirect conversations between Maharaj Yudhisthira and Vidura, and thus, when she inquired from her son about the purport of the conversation, Maharaj Yudhisthira replied that from the talks of Adura, it was understood that there was a hint of fire in the house where they were proceeding. Later on, Vidura came in disguise to the Pandavas and informed them that the housekeeper was going to set fire to the house on the 14th night of the waning moon. It was an intrigue of Dhritarashtra's that the Pandavas might die altogether with their mother. And by this warning, the Pandavas escaped through a tunnel underneath the earth, so that their escape was also unknown to Dhritarashtra, so much so that after setting the fire, the Kauravas were so certain of the death of the Pandavas that Dhritarashtra performed the last rites of death with great cheerfulness. And during the mourning period, all the members of the palace became overwhelmed with lamentation. But Vidura did not become so because of his knowledge that the Pandavas were alive somewhere. There were so many such instances of calamities, and in each of them Vidura gave protection to the Pandavas on the one hand, and on the other he tried to restrain his brother Dhritarashtra from such intriguing policies. Therefore, he was always partial to the Pandavas, just as a bird protects its eggs by its wings. Jai. Beautiful. Any questions, comments? A more historical account. All right, my Dandavats to you all.
Dandavats, Maharaj.
Hi, Hari Bo.
Hari, Hari Bo.
Dandavats.
Dandavats, Kushamadev.